Our New Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Listen to God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to remain standing. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Renew the face of the earth and renew our hearts, opening them to your power and your might and your spirit in our midst. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If the commercials of my childhood had a lesson to offer, it was that strength was derived by eating Wheaties in the morning, taking a Flintstone vitamin a day, and that a Calgon bath at the end of the day might just be a sure thing to provide a restful sleep after a long day. Now, in a post-9/11 world, we see that more than ever, strength is treated as a commodity, marketed in self-help books and protein shakes and the latest fitness craze. Strength, we are told, comes quickly when we say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Or when we check our credit reports on freecreditreport.com, and when we take our Boniva to ensure our bone health. Now, while fitness and insurance and supplements are all important sources of support, we are taught that strength is something that can be bought and sold, that with the right products, we can rest assured of our physical and our financial and our spiritual and our national strength. Now, we all have formulas in our own life of the touchstones that reinforce our sense of well-being when life wears down. A call to our best friend from high school, a jog around the reservoir, a go-to movie that makes us laugh, or a warm bowl of soup. Elizabeth Gilbert, author of Eat, Pray, Love, writes, I have a friend whose grandmother used to tell her, there's no trouble in this world so serious that it can't be cured with a hot bath, a glass of whiskey, and a book of common prayer. We all know what marketing teams know, that there are moments of stress or loss when our internal well of resources has run dry. When we feel inside that we simply don't have enough to sustain us. When we know that we need to reach out for strength from an external source, from God or a spouse or a cup of hot coffee, rallying to ourselves the support that we need to face the struggle or simply face the day ahead with courage and hopefully some love. And somehow, in a stroke of sheer grace, we find the strength to spend one more day at the hospital bedside. We find the strength to spend one more day pounding the pavement, applying for a job. We find the strength to face transition or to stand up for ourselves or someone else. We find the strength to care for another or to simply live each day after losing a loved one. Eve Ensler tells the story about Agnes, who built a safe house in Maasailand, Africa, for girls who needed to escape the threat of genital mutilation. She tells the story of Jacqueline, a 14-year-old girl who heard her father negotiating with an old man in her village, planning to trade her for some of his cows. Now, cows were a precious commodity in drought-ridden Africa, but she knew that she would be cut and would be forced to be this old man's wife. So she ran to the safe house, traveling for 2 days, sleeping with hyenas, hiding under bushes, until she arrived in safety. Here, at the safe house, she was protected and received an education. And as Agnes's ministry goes, after 1 year, Agnes coordinated a reunification with her family, or rather, a reunion. Her father, seeing her poise and her strength and her courage, wept when he saw her and promised to not only protect her, but to protect her 4 younger sisters. But the amazing part of this story is Jacqueline's response to her father, who found the strength to say, "You were willing to sell me for 4 cows and a calf and for some blankets. But I will promise you, now that I am educated, I will always take care of you. And I will come back and build you a house. And I will be your daughter for the rest of your life." Ensler credits Jacqueline's strength to what she calls the girl cell. She says that the girl cell is compassion, empathy, passion itself, vulnerability, openness, intensity, association, relationship, intuitive. And she says that we find that compassion informs wisdom, that vulnerability is our greatest strength, and that emotions have inherent logic which leads to radical, appropriate, saving action. We, too, can name the struggles of our lives as we can name the struggles of the world around us. But can we notice the source of our strength? The biblical writer for this morning raises this very question for us, saying, "What is the source of your strength? What is the source of our strength?" Our scripture for this morning tells the story of a growing church in a threatening time. This church was, quite frankly, in need of strength. Now, this letter, although addressed to the Ephesians, is understood to be a pastoral letter that was circulated throughout all of the churches in Asia Minor, a letter to encourage the church to be church in the face of Roman occupation, in the face of competing philosophies, in the face of moral temptations all around. Throughout the letter, the writer of Ephesians points out a powerful, loving God who strengthens the church through Jesus Christ. Christ, he writes, is the source of the church's unity and the source of the church's exalted glory. Through Christ, the church can do the impossible, the unheard of. Through Christ, the church finds its purpose, finds hope, finds strength. Our passage for this morning is taken from the final chapter of this letter. And the author utilizes an image of worldly power, the armor of a Roman soldier. But the author reimagines this armor as a symbol not infused with threat, but infused instead with the power of God's love. Now, while at first the militaristic imagery may be off-putting to some, it is clear that the author of this letter is putting a divine twist on a worldly symbol, detracting the worldly significance of this image and replacing it with the potential for amazing divine grace. The author of Ephesians knows that the world is full of challenges. He knows that there are pressures and limitations that pull on each person, commanding our attention with the wiles of the television and internet ads that we experience today. He knows that there are people and movements and behaviors that would love to define our lives and define the church if only we would let them. That there are those who claim to know us better than we know ourselves, and who propose that they will offer what's best for us if we will just say yes. There are attitudes that drive our culture that often go unnoticed until we find ourselves one day projecting an attitude that frankly we don't like. One of greed or entitlement, of consumerism or individualism. There are pleasures we are told that we can buy without considering the expense. There are segregating forces in our world that encourage us to stick with our own kind and make it all too easy to turn a blind eye to the needs of others. There are those who garner their power by forcibly taking power from others. And there are ways in which we are complicit in this damaging power play. Ways that we don't even notice. It can be hard to be a person in the world, yesterday and today. But the writer of Ephesians offers us hope. He points to resources at our fingertips, spiritual resources that can be the strength that we need for the journey ahead, and the strength we need to make a holy difference in the world. Now, he writes about this armor. He writes about the belt of truth, a sign of preparedness. He writes about the breastplate of righteousness, a symbol taken from prophetic literature that calls a people to transforming justice, to God's justice. He talks about the shoes of readiness, the shoes that we need so that we may never cease our walk for peace. He talks about the shield of faith, protection from attack, and the helmet of salvation, a symbol of God's desire to free God's people from the bondage of sin and death and brokenness in this world. And finally, he talks about the sword of the Spirit, the only weapon mentioned in this armor, which we learn is the word of God. And finally, all of this armor is covered in a blanket of prayer. For the writer of Ephesians, strength is found in faith, in justice, in peace, in salvation, in spirit, in prayer. Power is not something that is to be won through worldly pursuits or violent dominion. But real strength is grounded in the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sister Joan Chittister writes, "We have become a society of machines and business degrees, of stocks and bonds, of world power and world devastation, of what works and what makes money. We train our young to get ahead, and our middle-aged to be a consumer, and our elderly to be silent. We talk about ideas for getting ahead rather than about our ideas for touching God. We are miles from our roots and light years away from our upbringings. We have abandoned the concerns of the civilizations before us. We have forsaken the true, the good, and the beautiful for the effective, the powerful, and the opulent. And we are lost. So what do I believe in?" she says. "What do I define as human? To be human, it is necessary to think again about what matters in life. To always ask why what it is to be human is to listen to the rest of the world with a tender heart. And to learn to live with our arms open and our souls seared with a sense of responsibility for everything that is. Sister Chittister reminds us of the truth that is the twist in our passage for today, that to be human implies an initiative of openness to the direction of the Spirit and a willingness to partner with God in God's life-giving, redemptive purposes. The author of Ephesians uses this imagery of armor to remind us that the equipment that we need for this journey, for the strength of ourselves and for the church and for the world, is offered to us freely, graciously, by God's initiative to us in Jesus Christ. But we need to pick up that armor and put it on. We must dress ourselves up in the qualities that allow us to be conduits of God's power to the church and to the world. We must clothe ourselves, cover ourselves with the intention and hope. We must receive the power God offers to the church and be strengthened to use this power for God's redemptive purposes in this world. God empowers the church. God empowers us. But we must take the initiative to receive that power, to receive the gift that God has been given, that God has given to us, and to adorn ourselves, to identify ourselves in faith and God's justice and peace and salvation and spirit and prayer. More than 23 years ago, I experienced what felt like a crossroads in my life as a teenager getting ready to head to college. At the time, my crisis was filled with all of the identity and relational turmoil and questions that mark a teenager's experience. On a whim, I opened the Bible that was given to me by a youth leader of my youth group at that time. And late at night before going to bed, I randomly flipped open the Bible to see if God had a word for me in what felt like a time of isolation. I was looking for guidance and I was looking for strength in a time of difficult decision-making. And I think I wanted to see if God was listening. The passage to which I opened was the passage we read this morning. And there was a moment of grace in which I was certain that I was held in the arms of a God who loves me, and that somehow I would never leave that grasp. May we today live with this knowledge, the knowledge that we are held in the strong arms of a God whose love will not let us go. May we today live with the knowledge of the strength we receive by the power and presence of our God, who will never leave us nor forsake us. May we clothe ourselves in faith and justice and peace. May we be empowered by God's promise of salvation and the strength of the Spirit. And may we bathe ourselves and this world in prayer. And then may we, as individuals and as a church, have the strength to tell the truth, to be humble, to seek forgiveness, to extend forgiveness, to change what is wrong, to face each challenge with hope, to courageously speak up and act on behalf of the needs of others, and to live in peace. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may we answer this invitation to prayer here and now as we lift our voices in prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, you who are the source of our strength and the source of our hope, who knows our needs before we even ask, who desires not only for our wholeness, but for the wholeness of all of your creation, that cries out in labor pains, awaiting the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for this world, where there are instances of brokenness and abuse, of suffering and humiliation, of bullying and alienation, of segregation and terrorism, of war and violence. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Bring peace to every heart and home. Renew the face of the earth with the power of your love and the good news of the hope you offer to us in Jesus Christ. May your promises not only be reserved for a future time, but may your promises break into this world here and now, mending the hearts of those who mourn, comforting all who grieve, inspiring each one of your people to service, caring for those who are sick, ministering to those who are imprisoned or impoverished, freeing those who are oppressed. We pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will rain down upon us and upon your world, breathing new life into every heart, breathing new life into all of creation. In this time of silence, we lift before you the prayers that remain on our hearts for those we love, for the struggles we face, for the hopes we have, and the fears that command our attention. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. May your healing mercies touch the lives who are in need of healing. We lift before you those in need of your continued healing and comfort from this family of faith. Be with Ashley and Curtis and his family. For Judith and Gloria, for Al, for Andrea and Eloise, for Alana, for Alicia and her family, for Nancy's daughter, for Marty, for Maddie, for Phyllis and Sergey, for Pat, Usamu, for Sherry and Tom, and for all whose needs we have expressed in the silence of our hearts. We give you thanks that you are a God who inspires faith, who calls us to justice and faith and peace. We give you thanks that your love is so vast that you have sent Jesus Christ to heal the broken places in our lives and to redeem all of creation. And so here are prayers that we lift before you in Jesus' name as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.